The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Old Chicago Pizza and Taproom. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Yeah, that's a fun thing to do. I think the other guy's still going to get reps anyways. And, you know, it's like, but like when you put one guy in with the ones, and for whatever reason, Cortland's not in there and Tim's not in there, he's actually in with the twos, you know, and, or, you know, so that's why I don't make too much out of it. Right now we're trying to get the whole group ready to play, and we're trying to maximize the reps of every player so that they're getting what they need to be ready to go the opener.
I think if you were to take something away from today, aside from how boring Snooze Fest it was, I think, Tyler, everybody's kind of on the, it feels like kind of the same page. Like, if there's no real separation, you gave the day to Teddy, but not by much, right? It was close.
I don't think either one of them looked good.
Pat Shurmur's saying...
One guy looked a little bit more ungood.
Okay. Pat Shurmur said this is the best he's seen Drew, but also good said English. Good things about Teddy. But when Pat Shurmur says, yeah, the sooner the better, well, okay.
I think they're going to name it after Minnesota. They keep dropping little nuggets
feels
in there.
Feels like it, yeah.
Yesterday, Vic Fangio told us, for the next 3 to 4 practices, right, we're going to continue to rotate like this.
Right.
Today, Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur both acknowledged that in the near future, they could foresee a situation where one guy is taking the entire practice with the starters. So I honestly think that the goal is after Minnesota, they want to be able to, they probably won't anoint him. They probably won't actually announce that this is our starting quarterback, but you will figure it out because after Minnesota, you're going to have a couple practices in a row where you have one guy go with the ones for the entire practice. That feels like that's the goal. Now, they got to get to the point where somebody gives them the separation or else they're just going to go with their gut. And if they go with their gut, I would say, why did they ever open it up anyways? I mean, honestly, at this point, the right thing to do is to see it through until somebody separates themselves. Because if you don't, and neither guy has truly separated at this point, if you don't see it through to that point, why did you open it up to begin with? Because you're just going with whatever your gut is saying. You're going with a philosophy. You got to let somebody separate.
Well, it's impossible right now to say there's been significant separation between the two.
They both went backwards today, for the record. I mean, I said if it was a race to 10 and the first guy to 10 points as your starting quarterback, yesterday I said that Teddy Bridgewater was at a 6 and Drew Lock was at a 4. I would say that today Teddy Bridgewater's at a 5 and Drew Lock's at a 3. They both went back 1 point.
Wow.
But I didn't know the information that Pat Shurmur said. And if what Pat Shurmur said is true, that they were intentionally working on throwing the ball away, that does change my mind on the quarterback's performance. It does not.
Oh, okay.
Sorry,
a moment.
Got something in the throat there.
That's all right.
I'm going to be okay.
Hey, a beard that size is going to come with
that's
some.
Right. There's a lot of food.
There's
going to
be something going on there.
It's nasty.
Yeah.
You didn't even notice. I got trimmed up today.
You're good.
I mean, no comments, anything. Got the hair trimmed up.
Short is it on this hair?
I took a lot off.
Let's turn to the side just
Yeah.
That looks pretty good.
Thank you. Where was I? I don't remember.
That's a good question.
Yeah, who cares? This is probably dumb anyways.
The Drive's analysis of Training Camp 50-50, Teddy vs. Drew, is powered by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. So Minnesota's shaping up to be a pretty big deal. I think tomorrow is going to be a lot more intense, and I think your analysis of, wow, they picked a weird day just to have a boring day on purpose.
That's exactly where I was going.
It does feel like they did. If it was a boring day on practice.
Right.
On purpose.
So if what Pat Shurmur's saying is true about the quarterbacks intentionally throwing the ball away, okay, I'll take it easy on the quarterbacks. They were doing what they were told to do.
Yeah.
But I would double down on, of all the days for the coaches to intentionally practice boring stuff, the first day of full pads, that's not a good culture. That's not the culture I'm hoping for.
Yeah, they could have. That's a great point, because I'm thinking about what they worked on and hucking the ball out of bounds on purpose. And they were working on like, hey, short pass and spike the ball sort of things. And Those really are things that you should practice, but you can do that kind of at any point. Like it's hardly a huge sense of urgency. Now, it was a sense of urgency for them to get their running backs in the mix. It was a lot of running stuff today. Maybe I should go there with you on that. Did anything stand out to you in terms of the running game that they worked on quite a bit?
Yeah, the offense looked better than the defense. That's what stood out to me. Mm-hmm. O-line did a good job. They ran the ball well. I thought that all of the running backs had moments throughout the day where they looked special. Honestly, we've been talking about Mike Boone throughout training camp so far just about every day. Coach Fangio brought it up. Well, was that today or yesterday? I can't remember. But he brought it up. He brought up Mike Boone, and he said, that's a guy that you should not sleep on.
Right.
I agree with him.
Yesterday, yeah.
I don't know where that came from. I don't know why we signed Mike Boone. It felt weird to me, but he looks great when he's out there. He looks fast. All the running backs look good to me. The real observation would be, why did the highest-paid defense in the NFL get ran all over today?
Okay. Do you have an answer to that one?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't have the film. I don't have the rewind. All I've got is the live in, like, one. I get one glance at it.
Well,
right?
Let me throw some things out at you. The whole right tackle competition seems to be over, by the way.
Really?
Well, it seems to be. I mean, Massey's taking reps with the ones now, I think, like four practices in a row. I think Calvin Anderson got the first two, and then it's been nothing but
Fleming
Massive.
Has not had a single day where he's gotten reps with the ones.
Well, Fleming wasn't even out there today. He was, you know, something's going on with him. Garrett Bowles is really good. I think it's gone way beyond just, you know, they're not calling holding as much. I think we're really starting to see something, like, special.
Oh, you got the real deal. Yeah, Garrett Bowles looks fantastic. You could see it in his body. He just looks strong as an ox. In the running game, he's getting great momentum. He had a couple moments in pass protection that today were close calls, but they were close calls and close calls in as an offensive lineman. Did you get the man done? Did you keep him off the quarterback or not? So close call is not the same thing as a sack. He looks good. He looks very, very good.
Let me give you another one. Lloyd Cushenberry talked at length yesterday about him and Graham Glasgow spending a lot of time together. For example, Cush is from Louisiana, but he spent basically the entire offseason up here working with Graham Glasgow. And he has put on, it's crazy to see offensive linemen put on weight because you think they're pretty big initially. You can tell Lloyd Cushenberry is even bigger than he was last year.
Wow, that's interesting. He only gained 10 pounds. And an offensive lineman, that's usually hard to tell, but that means that it probably looks different. Like, if I had to guess, I didn't notice, but you're up closer to him, so I totally believe you. If you're seeing it, you're seeing a more firm body.
Yes,
that's what you're seeing. Because
that's a good way to put it.
It would be tough to tell 10 pounds on an offensive lineman.
I agree, but he stood up there. He looks like a coat hanger sort of thing with his shoulders. They're just so, like, almost comically broad and big. And, you know, Glasgow doesn't really look like that. Glasgow does not look all that intimidating up there, but Cushenberry does. I guess what I'm saying is perhaps a combination of things. First of all, the offensive line just looks better. You know, I mean, you've got improved play with Bowles. You got Reisner, who's pretty consistent. And maybe significant better play out of Cushenberry in combination with Glasgow is really making a big difference out there. And I really don't know about Massey. You'd have to tell me what that looks like compared to, I'm not familiar with them, and you've been looking at them. So I don't know. I can't tell you.
One last thought on the coaches intentionally practicing and throwing the ball away.
All right, yes.
Look, it's one thing to emphasize, if nothing's there, throw the ball away. It's an entirely different animal to say, during practice, we are going to intentionally practice throwing the ball away. We're professional quarterbacks. Do we really have to practice the art of putting the ball in the stands? Is that like,
hey, for the record,
is that an emphasis that we need to spend an entire day on?
Just for the record, I tried to talk offensive line there, right there for a second, and we're going back to the quarterbacks.
I'm hung up on this.
Hey, I can talk about that all day if you want. No doubt about it. I'm sure we have plenty of text reaction to it, too. Let's get there next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much much your business can save.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Old Chicago Pizza and Taproom. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Kevin Aurora. What are they going to practice tomorrow? How to lose a fumble?
Good question.
What a disaster. Shermer should be fired for just saying that. Well,
funny you bring that up, because Pete Carroll did make the ball was such an emphasis of his entire program, like protecting the ball, getting the ball, the ball's in the air, tips and overthrows, got to get those. Everything is about the ball. And he would make offensive linemen practice every single day recovering a football. Kind of weird. Felt like a waste of time.
Okay.
But we would practice every single day recovering a football.
How did that, like, just falling down?
The coach would throw a ball on the ground. You would dive. You would cradle it. You'd put your body around it. You'd get practice. Up and you'd go to the back of the line. Yeah.
Every day.
Every day.
Just fall on the ground on the ball.
Fall on the ground and get your big old body on it.
You think?
Don't try to scoop and score. You're 315 down. Pounds. We don't want you to scoop and score. Get on the ground and cover it up.
So that's more of a mental rep about what to do. Like,
yeah. It makes sense, though. Everything's about the ball. Everything's about the ball and protecting the ball. So I get that.
You know,
it does make me laugh, though. I mean, seriously, the idea of of wasting live bullets and shooting off target.
Well,
that's what we were practicing today.
Well, let me go.
He's just improved, and I think we're making corrections with Drew. That you would make with a quarterback in the second year of a system. You know, they're little decision-making things or get the ball here a little quicker. You got to be a little bit careful when you're doing the math on who played well and who didn't. You know, we may have a period with five plays where it's three runs of play action and a screen. We did a drill today where we were actually trying to throw incompletions to stop the clock. So you might say, holy smokes, that was a crappy throw, when no, that's what we were designed to do. So sadly for you guys, you don't have the scripts and you don't know the intention of our drills, but some of that happens. Okay.
So I know the exact situation that he's talking about. And yes, every team I was ever on had a play that was for the situation where you were trying to stop the clock, you didn't have a timeout, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's just various reasons why you might want to throw the ball away. But you know when we practice that? In walkthrough. That's when we practice that.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the middle of our first fully padded practice. We didn't take like four plays of live bullets to practice the quarterback throwing the ball away. No, we did that before practice or after practice.
By the way, Coach Shermer, it was pretty obvious what was going on, too. We didn't have to be that unsophisticated to see, you know, Drew and Teddy. They did a really good job of throwing the ball out of bounds.
You know what, D-Mac? I guess I'm dumb. I did not realize in real time that they were intentionally trying to throw the ball away. No.
It was so absurd.
I mean, they looked like real plays. The offense was going hard. The defense was going hard.
They were, but the throws were kind of like, again, cartoonish, you know, it just wasn't close to anything.
I thought they were just making decisions that, hey, nothing is open, so I'm going to throw the ball away.
It looked pretty obvious that. Of course, then you could always ask the question, well, here's what it looked like. It's either open deep, wide open, or if it's not there, throw it away. Because if you just want to practice stopping the clock, Tyler, you just have to snap it and throw it down on the ground. You don't have to practice throwing it out of bounds. So it did look like, hey,
But there are situations where you're trying to eat up the clock. So it's not just that you're trying to stop the clock, but you're trying to eat up the clock.
Like, let's waste 6 seconds.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Like, that's a good point. Good point. And they kind of did that, too, at the end of practice. It was like a punt, pass, and kick competition. Like, who can throw the ball the furthest down the field out of bounds?
Yeah, practice that during walkthrough.
Yeah. I can't disagree with you there. Yeah, good point. Like, there's so many other times you could practice that.
It's just not a necessity
in the middle of
what's supposed to be your most intense practice of training camp. That is not the time that I would choose to practice that.
By the way, once everybody sees that you're going to practice that, doesn't that kind of slow the tempo down for everybody? I mean, you as a defense, you kind of know what they're doing too, right?
maybe that's what was going on, and maybe that's why the energy felt so low out there. Maybe the entire team, offense and defense, understood that we're practicing weird situations right now, so we're not going to get our energy level up.
Maybe you're right on that.
We know that there's weird stuff going on.
It was just a weird design practice.
I just got beef with the timing of that, for sure. If you want to practice it, you can practice it during walkthrough. If you even want to practice it during actual real team periods, okay, you could probably find a time and a place to do that. Do it on a day when you don't have pads on. Do it on a day in which you're trying to ramp things down, in which you're working on situational football.
No one takes a full practice of throwing the ball away. It was like a period. It was... That would be a funny looking practice if the entire practice was just practicing throwing the ball away.
Felt like an entire practice.
It was boring.
But somebody said that it sounds like Tyler saying that Teddy was slightly better than Drew at throwing the ball on the ground today. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm telling you. I'm not telling you that Teddy Bridgewater looks great today by any means. I'm just telling you that I'm not in the business of splitting a gold medal, so I'm going to pick a winner, and Teddy looked a little bit better at throwing the ball in the dirt.
I thought it was funny what the way they were, you know, the whole throw the ball as high as you can out of bounds. And I'm like, well, Drew won that by 2 yards.
No. You know who was having flashbacks during that period?
Who?
It was like, seriously, like needed to go to therapy because of that period. Brett Rippon. Brett Rippon had that situation pop up twice at the end of the Jets game.
Crushed.
And he got murdered.
He did, you're right.
And not only did they do it once, he got murdered.
Right.
They did the exact same thing again, and he got murdered again. Brett Rippon's probably sitting there during that period like, fellas, do I have to do this? Like, I've been there, done that. I've done that in real time. It's not fun.
All right, well, here we go. Hot Take Tuesday. What do you got? Plenty on the plate here. Plenty to reflect about. 303-713-1043. That's next.
It's Training Camp 50-50. Teddy versus Drew. Powered by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Hot Take Tuesday. Brought to you by Papa Murphy's. Order your pizza for pickup today. What do you need? Up there, old Papa Murphy's. Man, we got a couple of interesting ones here right off the bat, Tyler. Not a hot take, but since I live here in Indy, I just wanted to say I'm glad what's happening here has not happened back home. Nelson has what I heard the same injury as Wentz, 5 to 12 weeks on a foot.
Right.
Woo!
That'll be interesting to see which one is it, because there's a huge difference for both Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson. If they're out 5 weeks, no big deal. So you're talking about the start of the season right there. If you're out 12 weeks, huge deal.
Man, oh man. Hot take, Jason in Denver, the Colts.
Huge discrepancy, by the way. Like 5 to 12 weeks.
I know.
like who comes up with that?
I don't know. Talk
about putting pressure on the player to come back. When you tell him that it's 5 to 12 weeks, that's you telling the player, hey, after 5 weeks, you're not going to feel good, but we want you to come back.
Generally, that foot thing, you think of that Liz Frank.
Yeah, but that's like an ACL. That's like a year-long recovery.
Right. 5 to 12, it seems very random.
It does.
Hot take. Colts do not get a replacement for Wentz, and they tank for Spencer Rattler. Mason and Denver.
Rattler. Thank you. I did have some people on the Hill come up to me talking to me about your hot take of yesterday.
What was that?
Your hot take that we could trade the loser of our quarterback competition for a third rounder to the Indianapolis Colts.
What did they think about that?
I thought it was crazy.
I thought it was crazy.
A little bit out there in La La Land, thinking that we could trade the loser of the worst quarterback situation in the NFL for a third rounder.
You kind of crapped all over that idea right away, so it was, you know.
I like the idea behind it. I mean, okay, so here's one for you. What if you didn't have the luxury of waiting, though? What if they came to you right now and they said, I'll be more realistic about it. I'm going to say, like, optimistically, they would offer you a fifth rounder for one of those two guys. But they said, you got to do it right now because we need a quarterback today. We can't wait until the end of preseason. We can't wait for you to declare your starter. We need him today. Would you give up either one of those guys for a fifth rounder today?
Yes.
Does it depend who?
Because I'm me.
Does it depend who? So if they, so I'm assuming yes. that you would only give up Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes.
So if they said,
yes,
we'll give
yes.
you a fifth rounder for Drew Lock, would you do it?
No. No, but that's me. What I'm not, you're asking me what I would do.
Sure.
To me, this whole thing is ridiculous. And but I think I've been pretty open in saying that. This whole thing is dumb. This whole thing is dumb. You should have named Drew Lock your starter at the end of minicamp. That's it. That's what we're going into our summer with. There's no 50-50 competition. We've seen enough. We've made a philosophical decision on what to do. That's a wrap. Teddy Bridgewater is our veteran backup. And if Drew has some issues, there'll be, you know, a short rope. He cannot have a season like he did last year, but he's our guy. And let's move forward. 70% of the snaps should be going to Drew Lock right now.
Let me ask you this.
It should be crystal clear. That's what I would do. So I'm
not going to say you're crazy. That's why I didn't want to trade for Teddy Bridgewater, because I would have much rather just given Drew Lock all of the reps and said, you're going to get better. This is our best hope at moving forward, so you're going to get better. The day you traded for Teddy Bridgewater, I predicted that Teddy was going to look better. I didn't want to trade for him because I felt like it was going to be a situation where it's going to prevent you from getting the best out of Drew Lock. You're mm-hmm. taking reps away. But if it's going to come down to a philosophy, doesn't that mean that the decision is already made? Because if it's coming down to philosophy, and the philosophy is we needed a 50-50 quarterback battle, doesn't that imply that the philosophy is leaning towards the other guy?
You're absolutely right.
So
you're absolutely right. And then you had Pat Shurmur today saying, better sooner than later.
Yeah.
It's like he's the offensive coordinator who emphasized, you don't know how difficult it was to do last year without the reps. And he's saying, yeah, Drew's looking better, but he's also talking about how he did work with Teddy Bridgewater back in Minnesota. And yes, you make perfect sense by saying that.
Yeah, I mean, if it's coming down to philosophy, well, the philosophy was made when you said that our quarterback room is not good enough with our current guy. We got to go get somebody else and open it up to a 50-50 battle. I wish that one guy would run away with it, but I think you're going to be right. I think the decision will be made because of a philosophy, because neither one of these guys is going to have enough time to run away with it, especially if they're trying to declare him after the Minnesota week.
But the guy that's making the decision, Vic Fangio, barely knows what he's doing when it comes to offense.
Is he, though? Is he making the decision?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
It doesn't seem like Pat Shurmur's in charge of it.
I think Pat Shurmur is in charge. I think he's in charge of the quarterback decision.
All right.
I would be shocked if Vic Fangio would tell Pat Shurmur what quarterback to play.
It seems ridiculous. I inherently agree. I don't know what they're waiting for. I don't know what magical moment is going to separate these two dudes. I think it's just going to keep looking like this, which is exactly what we said, by the way, after the OTAs and minicamp once we started seeing them.
It's been one step forward, half step back for both guys. They've both had days where they were competing, they were neck and neck. They've both had days where they were terrible, and they've both had days where they were kind of both just looking average out there.
But here's what's
one step forward, half step back. Nobody's separating from anybody. The only separation that you've had is that, yes, if you were tallying them up, and this is my tally, mm-hmm. and a lot of the hosts on the station, we're kind of split down the middle on this. But a lot of people have got Teddy Bridgewater in the lead on overall days that he has won. I think even you would. I think.
Maybe. I don't know. Was day six?
I mean, look, if you had to declare a winner today, who would you declare? I get it. They both looked bad. I get it. It wasn't fun. But you have to pick somebody. Right?
If I had to pick somebody today, seriously, to answer this question, it's so crazily poorly close. But if I had to pick somebody today...
No, don't go on a philosophy, though. Go on the performance of the day.
I will. Okay. It'd be Drew Lock.
Okay.
Because when they were in red zone inside the 5-yard line, and it came to just being able to scramble to score, Teddy couldn't even do that. He tried one time, and he got bottled up. And I've seen Drew, in situations like that, at least be able to run around to make something happen. That's today. But that is consistent. Like, Teddy doesn't move... kind of at all.
No.
And Drew can. He's got that ability to run if he had to.
Drew is not a Lamar Jackson, nor is he even a Josh Allen, but he is much more mobile than Teddy Bridgewater.
Correct. So that would be me today. But I mean, we're talking these crazy, weird, slim little margins. Today, when I did my, you know, little report or whatever, it's at denverfan.com, I just said, you know, it's a meh today. It's a push today. There wasn't anything significant today.
See, I agree with you, but the problem is that is like it's a little bit of taking the lazy man way out because you're saying it was so bad that I don't want to infer that somebody was good. I get that. I don't want to infer that somebody was good either. But if you have to make a choice based off the information that you have, this is evidence that you have to use, and you would have to use this evidence as a part of your overall decision.
All right, well, I'll take Drew because he can run around a little bit and Teddy can't.
Fair enough.
I mean, that's it.
Totally fair.
But I have no idea what philosophy. See, I don't buy something Shermer was saying, too, because he was like, yeah, the what we're doing works for, like, either guy. I don't buy that. I think there's – but then it was weird. It's like – what we do works for either guy, but they have nuances that fit those guys. Yeah, well, okay. That's a fun way to say there's two different approaches because they're two different types of quarterbacks. It's a frustrating situation. It just feels like rip the Band-Aid and just get on with it. Either way. And get 70% of the snaps with the guy. Tyler, just like he says, let them build a rhythm with the guys that they're going to be out there the most. That's what they are trying to do, by the way. So you're seeing some kind of ridiculous things. Like, we saw a period today where Teddy took a snap, Drew took a snap. Teddy took a snap, Drew took a snap. Also, they could stay with the basically the ones.
Mm-hmm.
It looked ridiculous, I thought. I don't know. I don't know if you've ever played for a team that
did something
like that.
The only thing that I disagree with is that at this point, I hope that it's not made, the decision is not made on a philosophy. I hope that it's made off somebody separating. And so I want them to actually see it through at this point. I want somebody to separate, and you can't do that over the next couple days.
All right, Troy Rank will give us the latest in his observations. There is an incredible story with a Broncos player that is such a, it's just a remarkable story. And if there's somebody to just root for big time, Troy knows it well. Details coming up.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Old Chicago Pizza and Taproom. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Troy Rangel's joining us here in a second. I got a fun conspiracy theory for you. What'd you think of Kareem Jackson having a vet rest day today?
Well, I didn't think all too much about it, but I want to know whatever your conspiracy theory is.
Well, the conspiracy theory is that he's unhappy with having to take the deal that he took, and maybe every now and then he just doesn't feel quite up to practicing.
Oh, wow. That's
conspiracy theory.
Conspiracy wow.
theory. No evidence. No speculation. Just conspiracy.
I don't know. I guess I... That sounds like you're probably told something on that one, because I definitely would not have come to that conclusion.
I wasn't told inside information, but somebody else brought that up to me, that, hey, you know, maybe he's not happy. I was like, oh, I said, you got anything on that? And they're like, just a, you know, theory. I was like, well, that's a fun one.
Okay. I think that's a very, very loose connection so far.
He was the only vet to take a vet day today.
Now, maybe said person's got some inside information that I do not have, but I don't have any information to believe that yet.
I don't either. It's just fun. But he was the only vet to take a vet day today. He was the only one in a bucket hat. Everybody else was either doing rehab or coming back from COVID. Oh, how about KJ Hamler out for close contact COVID stuff?
Yep.
And then Vic was like, well, he could be back tomorrow.
COVID stuff is very, very confusing.
Very confusing.
Yeah.
You know what? Let me ask our Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, joining us courtesy of
ROX, Rocks Heating and Air.
What can you tell us about the KJ Hamler COVID stuff? How is it that he's out today, but he could be back tomorrow, Troy? Do you know?
Well, he had told us last week that he had been vaccinated. I'm not sure if he was 14 days removed from a last shot. That's unclear. I mean, technically, if he's vaccinated and has negative tests in back-to-back days, I think that's what Coach Fangio was referring to. It would be a little bit surprising. I mean, but the protocol is different from those vaccinated in close contact, those unvaccinated. He's implying that he's a vaccinated player who was in close contact, so then if he would have a couple of negative tests, he'd be able to return.
Troy, Pat Shermer implied after practice that they had some situations today in which they were intentionally practicing throwing the ball away. okay, I've had situations where we practice that in walkthrough. I've never had a situation like that in the middle of practice. I'm curious if you got any further clarification as to what he is referring to, because that sounds bizarre to me to take live bullets and practice throwing the ball away.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it looked like from the side, is what they were trying to do. Again, the way they're conducting this is odd to me. Like you said, there just wasn't, you know, there wasn't any juice to practice today. They're clearly going to emphasize running the football. I think that was a tell and a hint to even today, the first day of pads. It was really about everything but the quarterbacks. It just seems odd because you can pump fake it and simulate that. I don't know why you have to line up to throw a ball away. But that's exactly what it looked like. I have no more insight on that. And other than looked like they were trying, you know, they go through these situational things. Usually those are things, frankly, we never see, Tyler. It's you've been privy to as a player. They happen in the bubble or during a walkthrough
right.
that we never see or hear about. So, but that's exactly what it looked like today. They're practicing throwing it away. I'm like, they had enough practice with that last year. They were the worst in completion percentage. I think they got that part down good. I think we could spend more time practicing actually completing passes.
Troy, were you inherently bored during practice today?
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are right. I mean, there's just no vibe. I turned to someone at some point and said, you know, I covered Seahawks training camp of several years ago, and they had a DJ and a full crowd. This was pre-COVID, but, I mean, it's a party, and they compete, and everything is just, like, intense, dialed up to 11. And today was just – it's boring. And I'm not saying you can't get to the finish line by being boring, but typically teams that are boring, they're, like, just cold in their execution of things, namely the Patriots. They're boring, and that's what makes them good. DJ LeMahieu is a boring player because he's as consistent as a metronome. The San Antonio Spurs, when I watched, they were pretty boring, but they are just cold-blooded in their execution. Broncos just, again, there's just not a vibe there. Now, again, the first day of pads, they're trying to work back to it. It's totally different than it was 10, 15 years ago. But to answer your question, yeah, there wasn't much going on. I mean, the crowd barely reacted other than when Von Miller ran down to him at one occasion and Cortland Sutton ran over to him to kind of interact by clapping hands.
Very half-hearted, that's, by the way. Very half-hearted. Yeah.
But that's all you were at the, that's the only, like, emotion I saw. And, I just, when it's not coming from the players, I'm not one because I coach that way, like, just be like you're bringing energy as a coach, and then if you're not getting it from the players and you're kind of challenging them, and I know people think Pete Carroll's kind of hokey in that way, but if you've ever been around him, everything's a competition. Every day is a competition up there, and that does create the culture. And I just don't know. Today just felt like a college lecture where they were going through the, you know, here's what's going to be on the final, and all the kids were writing the notes down, but there just wasn't a lot of energy to it.
We're chatting with our Denver 7 Broncos insider, Troy Rank. Troy, we did have a couple injuries today. Cody Conway got hurt. He's an offensive tackle during one-on-ones. That one looked relatively serious. And I didn't see when it happened, but I did notice that Mike Purcell was on the sideline as well. What do you know about their injuries?
Yeah, Conway did not look good. I mean, I hope it's not an ACL. He got bull rushed by Jonathan Cooper. He did bring energy. He had a hell of a practice today. Cooper, we talked to after practice. I mean, he has, it's like a rapid heartbeat, a regular heartbeat. He had surgery for that twice in high school before going to Ohio State. Well, I thought he just had the one procedure, and that's why he set out of OTAs. He had 3 8-hour procedures on his heart where at one point they told him if it results in a blockage, we're going to have to put in a pacemaker. And he's back out on the field. And I told him there's irony because he plays with as much heart as anybody. And then there's concern about his own heart, but he's out there and you talk about high energy, high motor. He is, but he bull rushed Conway, and it was awkward, and he fell and he hurt his knee. Deion Sizer from the CSU Pueblo kid was dealing with a hamstring. Jesse Jewell is going to be out probably in a week or so with a brain injury. Mike Purcell, that's the first time we've seen him back out there since, I think it was Friday. He's dealing with a sprained ankle. But nothing, again, the one serious injury so far, but last year you guys remember every serious injury was to a star player. And they just did not have the depth to cover that. You know, you just cross your fingers and hope that they stay relatively healthy leading into that September 12th opener.
All right, Troy. give me an observation off the beaten path. And you covered Cooper. I was going to bring that up with you. That's a guy to root for sure. That's quite the story. So you got me that. You got anything else that you got under your sleeve?
Yeah, well, listen, Derek Kuska is a guy who was in my Meet the Picks features last year. He made the team as a seventh-round pick, played some special teams. But if you watch him in practice, and I talked to Derek after practice today, he is a sponge when it comes to Von Miller and Bradley Chubb.
Yeah.
And he started going to them for advice, and now he's like, now they're probably tired of it, but he is really learning from them in an effort to make the team. And you can see they've taken a liking to him. Now, I don't know if it's all going to turn out, but this kid at one point could really rush the passer at the sub-division one level. So keep an eye on him specifically. And then my Meet the Picks feature tomorrow on Denver 7 will be on Baron Browning. He has a recruiting story that's one of the most fascinating and funniest ones you'll ever hear. And you'll see that tomorrow on Denver 7. Hopefully he gets healthy soon. But his recruiting story involving Alabama, Urban Meyer, and Nick Saban is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, he hasn't been in uniform at all. He's just been on the sidelines from the get-go. So we hope the best for him. Thank you, Troy. We'll talk to you later.
Yep.
All right, Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider.
Courtesy of ROX, Rocks Heating and Air.
On the text line, Hot Take Tuesday, after a day of practicing incompletions, the Broncos quarterback spent Wednesday practicing interceptions.
Bum, bum, bum.
Battle with Columbus, where are we at today? What's new and what's groovy there?
Well, we had a meeting today behind the scenes talking about a few logistics that we're working through, and things are looking great. It's looking exciting. Holy cow, have you guys been generous. We got a couple big-time sponsors that are about to jump in behind the scenes, I think. Fingers crossed. We're getting close to getting those deals closed. Man, we're doing so well financially. So grateful to you guys. But there's never enough. And when is there ever enough money when it comes to saving lives, right? So Pedals Plumbus to Beat Ovarian Cancer will be going on September 25th. We're doing a 50-mile ride from UC Health Center, Broncos practice facility. And we will finish there, have a party to cap it all off. It's going to be a great event. It's a limited capacity this year because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's only so many spots that are left, and it's $250 to ride. I would love to fill this thing up quickly and just be done with it so we can move on. We've got other phases, other things that we want to raise some money for, and some other cool events that we're going to attach towards it. But right now, DMAC, you guys have been so phenomenal. So would love to have you guys be a part of this. Quick reminder, my mom passed away from stage 4 ovarian cancer. She fought it for 6 years. And next week, I want you guys to start thinking about it. I'm going to have an announcement where I'm going to ask for some of your stories, and there's going to be some stuff on the line there, and not on the line, but there's going to be some giveaways for people that have been affected by ovarian cancer. So if you've been affected by ovarian cancer, just know that in about a week's time, I'm going to want to hear from it, and nothing preventing you from telling me right now on the text line, but we're going to try to get other people's stories out there as well, because yes, my mom was the inspiration, but it's about all the women that have been affected by ovarian cancer. So if you go to denverfan.com, you can donate $5, $10, $100. All of it's going to help us save lives.
Yeah, man, it's so easy to navigate. They've done a great job with the website too. It's so simple. Sometimes it gets tricky, like, oh, where do I go? How do I sign up? And you gotta, no, easy piece of cake. And it is a limited amount of spots, and that
yep.
I have no doubt that element of it. Where are we? August 3rd?
Yeah.
It's September 25th.
We've only got a handful of spots left, right, as far as the actual ride goes.
Right.
But we are working on another event that if you donate $100 or more, you will be a part of. Can't quite announce it just yet, but okay. we got something in the works here. So even if you don't want to ride, there's going to be ways for you to participate.
All right, just go to denverfan.com and sign up. Do the ride, though. I mean, there are some spots left.
There would be fun
to do the ride.
And by the way, 50 miles is achievable. That's a number that sounds really intimidating, but I'm telling you, anybody, if I could do it, you could do it. If DMAC could do it, you could do it. Believe me. It's an achievable number.
I think I can do it.
I think you do that like every Tuesday.
I was in a spin class the other day.
Wow, you went to like a real class, huh?
I went to a real class.
Lights off, techno music playing?
I hadn't been to one in years. And I brought my regular biking shoes, the clip-ins.
Yeah. They've don't most people do that?
I thought they did, but apparently nobody does.
Hold on. Where'd you do your class? Were you going to like the local rec center or something? Because
most spin bars,
I'm pretty sure people bring their own shoes.
I was at Vassa. Or the Orchard in Buckley.
Where do you guys clip spot. In?
Oh, my God. With the whole thing. Like, the teacher comes up, how are you? And I go, hey, it's my first time here in this class. And have you ever done cycling before? And I got my shoes. She asks me if I've ever done it before. I'm wearing...
Look at you getting judgmental on the polite cycling
but then
lady.
Then it got like so pathetic because now she's like looking at my shoes and trying to find the pedal and like it doesn't click in and that now what do I do? You know, and like I'm like I'll just put them in the thing and you know be fine. Okay. And then I did win spin class. I did
good
win
for you.
I was looking at
did
everybody
they turn
else.
The lights off.
It's all that stuff.
Yes.
It's the...
I love it. Stand up. Everybody up now. Let's go push.
We're climbing a hill to this.
Got to push. 30 seconds here. Give me the best you got.
Yeah.
I won't be doing that to you guys during Pedal with Palumbus. Go at your own pace.
By the way, she kept saying how proud she was of all of us. And I'm looking at the crew and I'm like, they were disappointing at best. KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.